I've already got shards of glass in my rear that are cutting me apart.
David. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope things are sunny and bright wherever you are. They're quite the opposite here in Studio 66. In fact, it's downright chilly. Dare I say even frigid. I'm not talking about the temperature.
It's kind of cold in here as well, though.
All right. I'll get to you in just 1 minute, sir. Now, coming up in a moment, as we get ready for the divisional round and react to the wild card round, we have Willie McGinnis on the way. We have Colleen Wolfe on the way. We're going to hear all about what's going down with the latest Patriots melodrama. We're going to hear how the Wolf is feeling as her Eagles get ready to host the Atlanta Falcons. I did tell you that was going to happen. Oh, wait a second. MVP telling me now. Wait, I have to stop that for a second. Willie McGinnis is on Thursday's
right,
show.
Just to break the space-time continuum, we're taping with Willie tomorrow, Wednesday.
Oh, I thought he was coming up here today. I'm trying to get right, please, MVP. I'm trying to get set the tone of intensity.
Don't let him yell at you like
no
that.
No nonsense. MVP understands what's happening. Please, I'll manage the locker room. All right?
Can you sleep at night?
I sleep just fine.
No, you don't.
I sleep just
fine. You toss and turn. Because in that head of yours at night, you replay that game in October, week 5.
All right, let's get into it.
When the Jags came to Heinz Field.
You want to do it? Why wait for tomorrow to deal with what we can deal with right here, right now? Here he is. Perhaps
I don't want my song.
I don't want my song. I didn't offer to play your song.
I don't want my song.
You're not getting a song, so good. So we park our cars in the same garage there. You don't give it to him. You know what? Now I do want you to play his song. Now, MVP, you have to play his song. Here he is, the greatest player in Jacksonville Jaguars history, Maurice Jones-Drew.
I want the video.
Take it. You don't. That's enough. I want you to understand something. I understand what you want. But what you're going to get is something very different. Get used to it, Maurice Jones-Drew. That's the message of this week. I understand that you have a strong will. You're a talented person. You personified the Jacksonville Jaguars of 2017. But guess what? It's too tall an order for you, friend.
It doesn't matter.
You don't get to demand anything.
It doesn't matter who it is. You heard him. After the game. You heard the Jaguars after the game. There's no message that needs to be said. They know.
All right, let's
coming.
Let's talk about it. There's the wild card to talk about.
There's no reason. That's in the past. Let's talk. The people want to know about now.
I understand. We had a great national championship game on Monday night that we could talk. I don't care about all of it. We're going to talk about it, though, because I have to deal with you.
Okay, let's talk about it.
The matter at hand, let me just say this at the outset. It's not like my thoughts on the Jaguars have changed since October or late September. I've been saying it consistently for 4 months. This is not merely a really great defense. This is an all-time great shut-it-down defense, turn the game on its head. I'm hearing from a lot of Steelers fans this week saying, well, Ben Roethlisberger can't play as badly as he did in that October game, right?
You said, Blake Bortles, that reminds me of? When you were like, how hard is it to beat a team 3 times?
That's right.
There's no way the Saints can beat the Panthers 3 times.
I mean, they've already beaten them twice. Now they're expected to do it a third time. Good luck with that. No. Look at it from the other side.
Exactly.
It's hard to beat a team that's beaten you twice already. The word is in. The vote's in. You're not as good as that other team. Yes, I'm with you. People keep saying, well, Blake Bortles is their quarterback. Yeah, guess what? In that October game, Blake Bortles threw for 95 yards in an interception, and the Jags won by 3 touchdowns. Roethlisberger can't play that badly again. Guess what? That's what the Jags are built to do, is make your team, especially, obviously, your offense, look ugly. They win wonky. The final score. How did that happen? Listen, pick sixes happen. Weird special teams plays happen. Yeah. It can happen.
This is, and you said it, a generational defense, and we could talk about the wild card. I guess we have to go back and talk about all of them, but the Jags showed me a lot when it was first and goal on the one, and they held them to a field goal. I mean, mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey went against Kelvin Benjamin, who they've had this battle before at Florida State, going back and forth, and found a way to bat down a fade ball, which then you got OPI, which backed him up, and then the defense just played lights out after that.
Well, the thing that we've discussed, for what it's worth, and I don't know that there is a distinction to be made, but I am, I'm certain that versus like the Seattle Seahawks, great all-time, you know, I mean, for a few years there, obviously that would be the defense of the generation, you would say. Those guys are sort of like Michael Jordan or anyone else who plays with a chip on their shoulder. They find the need to be motivated by what you say. They use your words and turn them against right. you. The Jags are not that.
No.
The Jags don't care. It has a vibe to it that, well, we know we're the best. They're not saying that to convince themselves or anyone else. They just think that that's the case. That's a statement of fact as far as they're concerned.
No, yeah. I mean, I went down and I did a feature with them and sat down and talked to them, and they don't care what you think, to be honest with you, which is nice. They also feel like they're going to tell you how they feel every play and how bad you are every play. And, you know, they're very confident in what they can do. They know that. You know, and they compete with each other, too, and that's the beautiful thing.
So. Did they say – that was my next question. Not just within the defensive unit, but with that offense, and especially Blake Bortles. They don't say
– No, they don't say anything to the offense.
Well, they must know that Blake Bortles is not a great quarterback.
They don't say anything to that offense because to them, they can win the game. I mean, they score on defense all the time.
It's sort of like in WW2 pictures when Navy guys fight with Army guys.
Yeah.
We're on the same side, but we still are.
Well, I was just
all about
they
us.
Got into a confrontation in San Francisco where a DB and then a D lineman were going at it. Mm-hmm. But that's how they play. They say how they speak to you how they feel. Like, hey, yo.
Well, we had Alabama players trying to attack Alabama coaches on Monday night,
and
they
won.
So.
Yeah,
so,
and it's not a culture for everybody. But what the Jags are able to do is kind of resemble a lot of what Seattle was when Seattle first started, a lot of guys with a lot of attitude, a lot of personality. And you have, you know, a group of guys who believe. And so they know, and they're okay. I mean, they've said it. If our offense scores 7, we should win.
There, but again, the distinction for – again, I don't even know that there is any value in figuring out the difference. But it is, you know, the premise of Seattle – is we're all low round picks, free agent guys who have something to prove.
No,
these guys are all high pedigree guys who say like, yeah, well, we're the best players in the.
Why do you think
we've always been the best?
Why do you think like, well, Miles Jack feels like he should have been a top 5 pick, so he has that. But Telvin Smith was a 5th rounder, but he's like, I'm the best linebacker in the game. There's no linebacker better than me. Then Jalen Ramsey's like,
I guess they do have chip on their shoulder.
But Jalen Ramsey's like, look, I'm a top pick. I like, okay.
Calais Campbell, like these, Jackson, like Dante Fowler.
And the beautiful thing about it is it's the young guys who are the ones that bring the attitude. The older guys kind of have molded into what they are now because Calais wasn't a big talker at Arizona. He wasn't he didn't talk a lot of trash like that. But when you're around Telvin Smith and Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye, these young guys who are just barking constantly, you know, Gibson and Fowler and Yannick Ngakoue and Malik Jackson, all these dudes are just talking. Mm-hmm. Talking trash.
You've explained to me that you need some dog in your locker room. What do you mean by that?
So there's two type of dogs, right? There's your house dog, you know, cuddled, sleeps in a nice bed. We a lot of us have those. Then there's your junkyard dog who sleeps outside and he eats tires. And if those two dogs were ever to get into a fight or an altercation, the dog in the house doesn't have it. He doesn't have that street mentality. He doesn't have that survival of the fittest mentality because he's been, you know, fed his whole life. The other dog is the one that's had to fight and scratch and claw, and that's what it comes down to. In the game of football, it's so violent and physical that you have to have it's not going to be me type of mentality. I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to lose today. And so I think when you see a lot of these teams, Pittsburgh has it. And that's why I said they're built similar. Pittsburgh has
I was
guys
just going to say.
Just like it.
I completely agree with you. And I know that it's overly simplistic to say that were it the Atlanta Falcons as a front, not the let's say the Saints. I mean, these are teams that are obviously still in the mix, but something about being under the dome and their nature of play, even this year. I don't think that Jalen Ramsey would do well to sleep outside, based on your analogy there or your metaphor about the dog, in Pittsburgh. Not just because it's going to be cold outside. Listen, the Steelers, but I don't think this don't, Steelers like, bunch is a pretty boy unit.
They're not. And that's why what I was trying to say. They're the same. They're the exact same. I just think that where you have Artie Burns, Jalen Ramsey, right, who when you looked at them coming out in the draft, I want to say they came out in the same draft. Right? I think they came out in the same draft 2 years ago.
That sounds right. 2 years ago, yeah.
Jalen, the reason Jalen went so high is because he showed that mentality on the field. Like, he showed if someone got close to beating him or anything, or when people were trying to block him, he was physical. We saw the AJ Green altercation. Mm-hmm. They just play with a different tenacity. And Pittsburgh defense does the same thing.
I'm thinking more, though, because it really, to me, comes down to, and I, you know, listen, I'm not sleeping on, I'm not discounting Leonard Fournette making hay, especially.
Another dog.
Well, listen, he was dynamite in Heinz Field the first time around. I think the signature play, not just of that game, but really, to me, a defining moment of the regular season was Leonard Fournette summoning Mike Mitchell to him to come and hit him.
Changed their whole outlook on their season.
I kind of feel – is that right? That's the vibe in that locker room?
Well, I mean, when you have a running back who was like, come on, come get this work, and then he runs you over – and I get it. Mike Mitchell came in and went low and tackled him, but that guy kept going forward, and you went low.
I got a lot of heat from that from a lot of people, including Mike Mitchell. He called me dumb on Twitter.
Listen,
saying that.
That's fine. I mean, but Mike Mitchell's a safety. He's not hitting many people up high if you're looking. And I commend him for going in and getting summoned because that's a pride thing. And like we said, when you have heart and you have pride, you're going to go in there. But he didn't win that. And so I think they're going to find a way to get him one-on-one with Mike Mitchell again, and don't be surprised if you see it again. And the second thing is the Jaguars, for some reason, run better against 3-4 personnel than they do 4-3 personnel. It's just weird. Like, I don't know why it's that way, but they run the ball better against a 3-4 personnel. That's just what they do. Their running game, their system is built for that. And with that being said, we talked about this earlier. If the Jags were ever to stop with this, let's say the Pittsburgh Steelers were to stop the Jags running game, what do you think the Jags are going to do?
I mean, listen.
What do you think? That's one.
They are going to stick with 27 and beyond that 33.
If it's the other way around, what do you think is going to happen? And that's the issue. It's easier, and I think that's what happened. And we can go to – that's what happens to a lot of teams.
You're saying if the Jags take the runaway early, it's going to put it
Haley,
on seven.
They're going to put it on and that's what you want. Because guess what? The part of the Jags defense that was weak early in the season was their run game, right? They couldn't stop the running game. If they could find a way to stop the running game, all of a sudden we want you to throw the ball because we got all these all pros back here. That's what we want you to do.
I understand, but a couple of things. There are a lot of different directions I wish to analyze this matchup from your perspective, obviously tied in to these Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, let's start with a big issue, at least from where I sit. The weather. What if it's freezing out? That's not going to hurt the Jags. They're fine out in frigid temps.
I mean, they're going to have to play. I mean, it may be. I don't think it's going to hurt the corners and things like that, or the linebackers. They're going to still play. But it fits to them too, because guess what? Their running back's 230 pounds.
I understand the old cliche about both teams are out in that weather, but don't you think there's something to the notion?
No, there,
that
there
you're
is.
In it. That if you're the Steelers, you've played in it now.
Yeah, in Jacksonville's
a couple times
hot. It's hot, but right. You got to remember too. It's been cold all. It was cold all last week. In Jacksonville,
like, all right, it wasn't 10 degrees.
It was 20 something degrees.
Is that true?
Yeah, it was freezing. They had to stop. They had to like close the roads down because they were frozen. Seriously, it was crazy. But I'm at the end of the day, once you get out there and start playing, I get the temperature and the weather. It was the same way when we went there. We came from Jacksonville, we went up, but we're built for that. Our team was built to play in the cold. I'd never played in snow until I got to Jacksonville.
All right, I mean, I know it's a decade later. But David Garrard went up there, game manager guy, and that seems to be the big difference there, and that's what a lot of people are pointing to. The distinction between Hall of Famer Ben Roethlisberger, 5 picks notwithstanding the first time these two teams played each other, versus Blake Bortles. Obviously, the premise of the way Jags win games is not putting it onto Five's right arm there.
Right. Well, you remember what play sealed the fate of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs? It was 4th-and-2, and we ran what?
Oh, the
the quarterback draw.
That to me is
legit.
What
did Blake Bortles do all last week?
Blake is doing a lot more running, it seems, of late, and the Steelers DBs do have a bad habit of turning their back on him and on the QB and letting that guy make some hay on him.
So if he can eke out a couple first downs, and I'm not saying like he did rush for almost 100 yards. No, we don't need him to do that. But we do need him to move the chains.
Just make him pay a couple of times.
Yeah, just
right.
A couple times to keep him honest. I think you have a chance there. I want to say, because I was like concerned. Like, I thought Juju Smith wasn't playing. He played in that game. I think everybody on Pittsburgh played in that game.
The Steelers are a little bit different, obviously much worse off defensively without Shazier against anybody, including the Jags. Offensively, though, they feel like a different team. They've hit their stride to some degree. They were still struggling inexplicably at that point. Martavis Bryant, much more integrated now. It would appear that Antonio Brown, saying, is 100%, and he's going to be ready to go. Juju.
But see, Antonio Brown had 157 yards that game. It wasn't as if Antonio Brown didn't do what he does. Like, he did that.
All right.
Okay, He didn't score, though, and that was the key. They hold you out of the end zone.
Bottom line for me, and the reason that I believe, and call me a homer
no,
or whatever,
I
absolutely can see the Jags finding a way to win this game. But I do lean back on just looking at it as the pieces I have available to me walking in. It seems awfully hard to imagine, even this great Jaguars defense, being able to suppress the pieces that they have out there. Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and Juju and a great offensive line and Vance McDonald and Jesse James. How are you going to take all that away? I don't mean the Jags. I mean, how ultimately is a team going to be able to slow that down?
They had all those pieces in week five. They had all those pieces in week five.
Not Martavis Bryant. Le'Veon Bell wasn't fully up to speed yet.
They were all playing.
And I told
and
you.
What,
the
and this is what happened.
They
you
figured
remember,
it out.
The one piece that the Jags didn't have in that situation.
Roethlisberger wasn't humming
Jags,
yet.
Remember who the Jags didn't have in that situation?
Who?
Marcell Dareus.
That's true.
That's who they didn't have. And that's the guy who helped them stop the run game.
I absolutely see this one. I'll issue my final
and
official
I'm say
pick
this.
Later in the week.
No, it doesn't matter what you do.
It does matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter?
You already know who you're going to pick. And if you don't go with them, then you're wrong. Then you don't even need to have a show if you don't go with them.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Wait, I have to take the Steelers?
You have to.
Now I'm tempted to take the Jags just out of spite.
But
I'm not going to be told what to do.
But no. Then the people aren't going to listen to your show because they don't believe you if you're not willing to take.
I see. No jive. You're saying
no jive, man.
Well, listen, I've picked the Patriots to beat the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a shame. But let me say this.
All right, go ahead.
And this is we can end it here. And I'm going to talk about the wild card.
All right.
Alex Smith was one of the hottest quarterbacks coming into the playoffs, right? I mean, they went on a tear after they lost a couple games. They went on a tear and they went going. Started off fast. But Tennessee stuck with their game plan. Travis Kelce got knocked out. But they ran the ball and they found a way to come back. That is the key to winning in the playoffs. So Le'Veon Bell has to go crazy. He has to have a Buffalo Bills type of game where he gets the ball 38 times for 230 yards.
It is so funny you say that because that is the number I have banging around in my head, 34 to 38 touches for 26 equals victory.
If he doesn't touch the ball, I'll give you 25 to 30 times. It's going to be a tough day because in this situation, I told people this all weekend. You have to run the ball. The Rams kind of got jumped on early by the Falcons because of a turnover, and then it just took them out of their game plan. They never ran the ball again. They ran the ball 14 times. The Chiefs, up 18, run the ball 11 times with Kareem Hunt. Are you kidding me? And then your OC gets a head coaching job? I don't know. You look at the Saints. The Saints ran the ball, even though it wasn't effective, and Drew Brees threw for all those yards, they still ran the ball trying to get it going, and they forced Carolina to play a certain defense that they could attack in the air. You have to do that. And even Carolina ran the ball well. I mean, you have to run the ball in these situations to do it. I'm missing a game, too. Well, then Jacksonville, you saw they ran the ball. And Jacksonville, it was a quarterback running the ball in order to move the chains and keep going. That's how you win games in the playoffs. And that's what scares a lot of people about New England. Who's going to be that back?
I hear you on all that. And the way the Jags play defense specifically, I think it does – It's getting the running game going, absolutely, with Le'Veon Bell, but I also think just as significantly, and actually there were some indications that even in the early October matchup, that this is how they were going to try to play it. Seven has got to be able to mute the hero instinct and just take the check down.
He's not.
26.
Because guess why? You know why he's not?
Why?
Because he's a future Hall of Famer, and he has to get that put
Brady on. Brady does it all the time.
Yeah, but that's Brady. That's how Brady came
into
the
league. Willing, long as they're willing to take
under two picks for Ben.
That's a great question. Over. Two. No. Two at most.
I don't know.
Oh, here she is, everybody. She's got
Don't let him play your music. He's all messed up.
I have no beef.
You're about to be messed up too, though.
I have no beef with.
Oh,
the
I'm
wolf.
Already messed up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
all good.
I got nothing but good things to say about her. Here she is, everybody. Philadelphia's own, in front of a big game for the Eagles, hosting
right.
Number two, the reigning MVP. At that, Matty Ice, here she is, everybody. The host of Good Morning Football, the Weekend Edition and Beyond. It's the Wolf, Colleen Wolf.
Hello!
That's it.
Please.
It might get too festive if we played a full-on.
Yeah, no, I know. We don't need that.
You see what's going on right here.
I see. I've been listening.
Maurice doesn't want me to touch. We have the Steelers helmet on my side. We have the Jaguars helmet on his side. He doesn't want me to touch it.
Have you touched the Steelers?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is pure. This is what rivalry is supposed to be like.
That's good.
It's like the Stanley Cup. Maurice isn't allowed to touch the Steelers helmet until he gets a
Stanley Cup. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You living in the past now? Is that what we're doing? You're like the Niners fans. You're like a Niners fan. Niner fans always say, like, oh,
the current Stanley Cup champions are the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah.
Well,
in the city of champions.
Year. It's a new year.
You're just like a 49ers fan.
Just like one.
How is that? They're currently the champions.
Five Lombardis, or how many ever Lombardis the Niners
Bay
have.
Area.
Yeah, you might as well just go to Silicon Valley and get a hipster beard.
I mean, listen. Somebody who's primary, who's known for being a Jacksonville Jaguar, and somebody else who's known to be Philadelphia representative, should not be coming in and talking stuff to somebody from the city of Champions. Do you understand?
I thought that was Green Bay.
Where's your? That's Titletown.
Oh,
that's Titletown.
Now you got a point.
What are you fist bumping each other
just
for?
Saying,
two losers
saying.
Fist bumping. We got him.
Just Wisconsin.
I'm decorated in championship trophies, and you two are fist bumping over nonsense.
I wore my company logo, gym logo, because it has teal, like the Jaguars teal.
Shout out to
Power Endurance. If you're in the Bay Area, come check it out.
It's good synergy.
I want to hear I want to hear how everything's going for everybody. I want to get into it with the Wolf here. I do want to hear a little bit more about that Rams game. Of course, Maurice Jones-Drew, the great Shecky Award winner for my favorite color analyst of 2017 for his work in the booth with those LA Rams. A disappointing end of the season, but precisely what I have described, and I think that looms as a real issue for the Eagles going into this one against those same Falcons. We said this would happen on last week's podcast. I said, you know, I can see it getting to the end of the first quarter and it being 10-0 Falcons, and all of a sudden the home field advantage becomes disadvantageous.
Yes.
If Philadelphia is losing, people in in the stands are going to be devastated. And if the Jags, if there's an early indication, or even at halftime or in the third quarter, if it's lingering and the Jags are hanging around and Roethlisberger has a bad pick or something like that, or what if the Jags scoop one up and score it, something like that, it'll be a negative energy, an electricity that permeates both sidelines and will not be beneficial to the Steelers. In fact, it'll be beneficial to
Which will be worse? Philadelphia or Pittsburgh?
I think people in Philly now have assumed the underdog role, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody now has shifted from poor
Rocky
us
ain't
into,
walking through that door.
I'm so done with Rocky references.
Rocky ain't walking through that door. I tell you that. Nick Foles is. And that's the scary part about it. And can we just real quick, I just have to say this.
God.
You hit it right on the head, Shaq. Calling that game, and it was going back and forth. Defense was playing lights out. And there was a turnover, and then the Falcons kicked the field goal. But everyone was still into it. And then the Rams went like five plays, and they punted. And then literally from that point on, it was
oh no,
we can't move the ball. And literally until the Rams moved the ball in the second quarter and almost tied the game up or took the lead, it was it was like, all right, we have a chance. And then when they came out of half, they had like an 18-play drive. That took – and after that, it was over. And literally, you could see it on the sidelines. You could see it in the stands.
It gets heavy. You can feel it.
Yeah, you could feel it in the press box. I was like, ooh, is this what it's like?
Yeah, it gets thick.
I say it all the time. The one the one anecdote that resonates for me forever is Bucky Brooks talking about being on the Jacksonville Jaguars, an underdog team, obviously rolling into 13-3, Mile High to play Elway and company. And by the third quarter, when the Jags were in the game and suddenly this might happen, the entire joint started feeling that, and it went down onto both sidelines, and the Jags players were actually saying to each other, you can feel that. Look at them across the sideline. That's infecting them, and it's emboldening us. Listen, given that we saw a couple of months ago the Jags formula against the Steelers and having it work, if that starts to happen again, Heinz Field will get spooked.
And that's the issue. Yeah. It puts doubt. It starts to put doubt. If you've played a team before and they beat you, and you go up, let's say for Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, they come in and they go up 3-0. Oh, okay. 6-0. Oh, all right. 9-0. Then it's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, no. And then as soon as the oh, no comes around.
That's when 7 gets to be.
That's when everyone's
on the hero badge. Yes.
That's when people start just stepping outside themselves. But that can also be the other way around, too, as well. I mean, if Pittsburgh jumps on.
I mean, I think if it gets 10-0 Steelers, yeah. I think I'll start feeling pretty confident.
No, I mean, that's a lot of teams. That's how you beat the Jags. You got to jump up on them. You got to get up. 14-0 has to be the score. It can't be 10.
I just wonder
they're comfortable with 10.
I wonder if the Jags are going to come in and be overconfident just because
there's no such thing.
What they did.
There's
before.
No such thing to them. There's no such thing as overconfident to them.
Really?
That word doesn't even exist.
Here's what I wish.
Confident.
That from this point forward, can we please? This is, by the way, it's worth noting, and I hate to be a bummer. This is our last really, really, really great weekend of football.
I know.
Yes, championship weekend is dandy, but that's just two games. That's two games on Sunday. And then after that, you have a festival. You have a party in which they drop a football game. This is it.
If they're there, if this team shows up.
The Jags.
Mm-hmm. In Minneapolis. Don't even call me.
That's it?
Why?
I'm not working. I'm not doing anything. I am partying my face off. I'll be at their practices. I may coach.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to be right on the side. Like, it's like the college, like the national championship game. How you saw those guys on the sideline?
Yeah.
I'll be right there.
First question for you guys. I've asked 17 questions, but I'm calling it.
But this is number one. Yes.
This is the first question. The Wolf. Do you believe, I'm taking a hard right turn here away from what we're talking about into the other big game of the weekend. Do you buy the Patriots stuff? Do you think that's true, or do you buy this? Oh, it's all fake news. No sources, like something else in political news these days.
Fake news.
Yeah. I first of all, I can't stand fake news. I can't stand the phrase fake news. I don't want to hear it anymore. But I think that there is something to the story, and I think that it's probably closer to somewhere in the middle of everything that was reported. Like it's probably the stuff that I thought was most interesting in the report was that it was kind of the players had to choose between either Brady and his guy or Belichick and the team trainers, and that the players felt like it was either one or the other.
Yeah, because if you didn't go with Brady's guys, you weren't going to touch the rock.
Right.
I like that.
Do you buy the Maurice? Do you think whatever's going on, and we'll talk to Willie McGinnis about it.
It's Willie's guy. That's Willie introduced him to Tom.
So is that true?
Yeah, yes. That's how it started.
That's how it all started.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. I'm even more excited to talk to Willie. I know he's tied in.
I wish I was there because it's his guy.
Now, what do you think? So whatever's happening there, do you think that it is ultimately, because we've seen this story many times before, where the Patriots are able to use that and rally, does this make them better, or is this actually a fracture that is going to be hard to fix?
This is different, I think, than anything we've seen before, because you never hear anything come out of that building, ever. Mm-mm. And they hear players be anonymous and other staff members be anonymous.
There's leaks coming out,
which is scary, one. Two, if it wasn't true, they would have never came out with this joint response. Like, see, because you could say, oh, you know, Maurice is this. And if it's not true, I'm not even, like, people on Twitter talk bad to me all the time. Like, I don't respond to it because I really don't care. It's not true. Like, whatever. But when it's true,
there's an ounce of truth
when there's
to
a
it.
Little bit of truth to it, and it could be a little bit, it could be a lot, you'd be like, no, you're wrong.
Right.
You fight back. And
the smoke from earlier in the season,
yes,
with Alex Guerrero not being getting his access pulled and everything, this is just the clarity of
the
it.
The Jimmy G trade, which is to me, I don't know if it's true or not, but I mean, we've seen Joe Montana get traded away late in his career. We've seen other who else? Peyton Manning getting cut. We've seen a lot of these Hall of Fame first ballot guys go.
And we've seen evidence of, even in the Boston sports community, you've seen the Celtics. They're probably the number one example of holding on a little too long to the glory days and then making the next generation of teams suffer.
And so normally,
but they say, all right, well, we'll buy the premise that you can play for another few years, and we're going to let the talented youngster go elsewhere.
It was the other way around in San Francisco. They weren't traded for Steve Young.
Right.
And so, I don't know.
Well, has that ever happened? Have you ever been on a team where
there
was like, you felt like there were the team guys and then the other guys?
No. Like, so it's tough because in the NFL, they're always, it sucks to say this because you have to be selfish in the NFL. You have to, because there's money involved. You have family and things like that. So you're going to do what's best for you. You always have to do that, because the team is always going to do what's best for them. So when I remember having David Garrard and they draft and Blaine Gabbert, and the writing's on the wall in that situation, when you draft a player number one, your first pick, like, they're going to end up playing eventually. If it's not, you know, your days are numbered. So I remember going to David and be like, yo, like, is everything cool? He's like, oh yeah, it's all good. Like, we talked. This and that, and you know, it's a couple year trial. Like, I'm gonna play two or three more years. And
how many quarterbacks? Wow. How many incumbents are gonna continue to buy that Jazz?
Exactly, right.
It's crazy that somebody goes, well, the coach said that they want me to groom them for the next few years. Like, what year do you think?
Well,
this
look at
is?
Alex Smith.
And that's where it comes down. So
right, they have one example. You have one example point to.
And they're talking
about the Packers situation.
Right.
Well, look, Favre played forever, and Rodgers was groomed, and then he came in. Yeah, that happens. One out of about 20 situations.
Well, and so when that happened, I was like, ooh, okay. Like, and then little things start to happen in practice. Like, the young guy starts to look really good in certain practices, and he starts to throw the ball. Then you have guys like, oh, okay, he could actually play. And then that's when it becomes, all right, your guy, who I played most of the majority of my career with, Garrard, or this new guy that the team wants to play. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, they cut Garrard week one, and we're playing with Blaine. And so we're playing with Luke McCown first, and then Blaine comes in. And so I try to tell people, like, it's hard to take your emotions out of this game.
Psychologically, yeah. I don't know how you deal with that, whether you're the quarterback or the guys around him.
Have you noticed there's a lot of people that play football that are, like, 31 and they have grays in their beard? That's why. Because it is stressful. Because every day your job is on the line. Every day. And to Tom's credit, he had enough gall, if the reports are true, to go up and be like, yo, y'all got to get him up out of here.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah, but that's also shows a certain amount of delusion.
And insecurity, too.
Sure.
No, I'm always insecure about my job. I need my job. If I'm Tom, like, listen, I've been.
But if he actually thinks that he is going to be playing at a high level until he's 45, that indicates a certain amount of delusion.
And it's interesting because of the confidence that they all exude and, like, the egos involved. And it's like, well, really, like, they're all just like any of us with, like, the insecurities of just everyday life.
Yeah. You have to remember, I mean, as you get older, and it comes in anything. Like, as we get older, there's always going to be the young hotness that comes in.
Right.
Whatever it may be. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, and he is the guy. And I remember reading this thing they were asking Tom about Jimmy in San Francisco, and he was like, I am so happy for him. I'm elated. Like, he has worked his butt off, and he's doing all this stuff. And I'm like, now I know why you're happy.
Right. Ross Tucker has told us that his prediction – I said, give me your big prediction for the 2017 season. He said, it really isn't the season. It's the off season coming. The biggest story is going to be Brady v. Garoppolo. No matter what they do, that's going to be the story in between the two seasons. And they've now gotten rid of that controversy. But now, to the matter at hand, you think the Titans – wait a second. Let me check something here. Spaghetti, did I hear you right say that we have 10 minutes left in the show? 10 minutes left? We need at least 45 to an hour here.
Time's flying.
All right, we got to cut to the chase here quickly. Maurice, before we got going here, you said you think that Derrick Henry and company can actually challenge the Patriots up there.
And the reason being is the Patriots' run defense is not that good. I had a stat checked because they've turned the defense around.
Right, but not the run defense.
The run defense has been leaky at best. And saying that they've given up 115 yards a game or 114 yards a game, they're 20th in the league, and you're bringing in a guy. First of all, it's going to be, they say it's supposed to be like around 25 to 30 degrees. No one wants to tackle someone that's 250 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And then a running quarterback as well. They're going to come in and just run the read option the whole time. And I guarantee you, Mike Mularkey, no matter how bad it gets, he's going to keep running the ball because that's what he believes in. And if they mess around and they keep the game close, Derrick Henry will wear them down, and they may get DeMarco Murray back. They're going to wear them down, and the best way to beat Tom Brady is
keep
to keep him off the field.
I hear you on that, but the thing that people are sleeping on, because I've started to hear a little brush fire of noise that maybe the Titans, I'm with you that they can run on them. People are ignoring the fact that Dick LeBeau, for his entire career going up against Tom Brady, gets humiliated.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you don't even put him out there on the field. You run the ball. Take up as much clock as you can.
I know, but it was going to be 17. It'll be like 17-7 or something at the half. You watch. He'll get him. Brady just picks that. What Dick LeBeau tries to do, Tom Brady has the cheat code to defeat, and it's not even
hard. He has Gronkowski. That's the key. That's the key. If Gronk has a big game, they'll be fine. But if Gronk, but we know Gronk can get banged up a little bit. If Gronk misses some time or something, that's when they lose, when they don't have Gronk.
Let's talk about Matty Ice and Company. This season marks 50 years of NFL films miking up players and coaches on the field to celebrate. We're honoring the best mic'd up clip of all time with hashtag best mic'd up bracket. Mike being M-I-C-D up. Got that?
Got it.
Apostrophe D.
Got it.
No apostrophe.
No apostrophe.
This is a hashtag, Maurice. You can't.
That's a hashtag. That's no, it's not. It's a
hashtag best mic'd up. Bracket. Fans can cast their vote by heading over to NFL.com/best miked up today. The winner is going to be announced before the conference championships on the 19th of January. Let's hear a little bit from Matty Ice.
Hey, he doesn't have a headset on. It's Matt Ryan. Okay.
Ooh, and he said, oh, that.
Holy, he got me good. Holy, he got me good. I think I bit my tongue or something. He got me good. I think I bit my tongue or my lip or something. Hey, chocolate, vanilla, ice cream.
At least bring up mint chip. It's the best flavor.
That play.
Lace. That was bad. Got it, chill.
Play action to Turner. Gonzalez. Touchdown, Atlanta. Ho!
Yes! Yes! Oh! Yeah! Ah!
You know what? I like that Matty Ice. Seems like a...
Especially after watching that.
Yeah. Seems like a pleasant fella.
That's a dog right there, baby.
It's just him screaming.
I don't know about, you know, I don't know how to regard these Falcons, because the fact of the matter is, while we have perceived them to be a disappointment all through the regular season, like I said before the Rams game, they did get the double digits in the toughest division in the NFL this year. Now they go up to Philadelphia, and it's weird how people are incapable of, even though they just watched the Titans go into Arrowhead when everybody handed that game to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Nobody can conjure a path for the Eagles to get past this 10-win Falcons team. The Wolf, most importantly, where's your head? What's your level of confidence, 1 to 10?
My head is all over the place right now. My confidence in the Eagles, I actually am not that nervous about this game, because I think that they have a chance, I think. Whereas before, with other matchups, I like this matchup against the Falcons. You're looking at me, MJD, like I'm crazy. And the thing that worries me is the Falcons defense has been playing really well.
That's right.
And they've been playing really fast. They've been flying around, and they're going to give Nick Foles a really hard time. That's the issue. But
and they can cover.
And they can cover really well. They have great corners. I mean, you saw what Grady Jarrett's been doing over the last couple weeks. They have been going after the quarterback. That's going to be a problem. But if they can run the ball and they can keep the Falcons off the field and deal with that defense well enough, then I think that there's a way that they can win. Plus, they're pissed off that they're the underdogs here.
I mean, it's
the
not
number one seed at
here,
home.
Turn up. I mean,
this is what how many points did they score the last two games they played?
It wasn't great.
It was like 10.
I'm not 14. Worried about that. I'm with you, the Wolf. It's the reason I said the Eagles in August. The reason that they
you
are
said gonna, because Carson Wentz.
But no, I didn't. I definitely thought Carson Wentz was going to elevate. But the thing that made them scary to me was that pass rush. They're for real.
But that's the key, though. The Falcons,
you start heating up Matty Ice.
So the Rams did that. The Rams hit him, and you know what they did? They was like, all right, we're not going to throw the ball. We're just going to run the ball down their throat. And that's the key. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's going to be a back and forth matchup, field position, field.
The Eagles' run defense though is really good. I think the Falcons are probably the best matchup that they could have gotten out of all, like the best draw.
Those two backs. The one thing is they run that zone system and it's hard to stop it because if one guy is out of the position, there's going to be a crease and those backs find the crease. I saw Devontae Freeman literally the crease. I'm not going to touch it, but let's just say the two guys were like this. He found a crease in between.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know
right?
exactly what play.
And made this big run. And I was like, oh my God, like there's no way you're supposed to see that hole. And so they've kind of – I'll say this, and it's, it kind of goes to what me and Shaq were arguing about, like the quarterback. Matt Ryan, to me, he's a good quarterback. Everybody tried to make him elite. He's not – he doesn't really make some of the elite plays when it matters. Like last year he was like throwing the ball over the yard and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the things that he did against the Rams were elite, and it was the little things. Like 3rd and 2, he scrambles out of the pocket and throws a 3-yard pass. First down.
It was like dink and dunk. They ran the ball, and that's how they won.
They're going to continue to do.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Maurice, because there's one thing I did want to go back to with the wild card round, and I'm not trying to call out poor Alex Smith because people will always point to. I think within the subtext, it's not going to be in the literal first paragraph of his career analysis, but the subtext is. There was a ceiling on what he could do. And I think he told on himself in that last drive, when they're going down the field, they have a chance, Butker, they're right on the cusp there, field goal range, and Tyreek Hill is singled up on the outside, and for some reason, Alex Smith saw a hint of a pass rush.
No, you know what happened?
What?
They snapped the ball and he wasn't ready. And so the ball hits him in the stomach. He gets scared. He goes to the first person that he can see, and he threw it to the seam route that ends up getting.
No, I'm talking the play before that.
Oh, okay.
He took off with the ball because he felt the pass rush and just took off, and it was a panicky thing that he needed to hang in there and throw it to 10, who singled up on the outside in that
open.
Spot.
Yeah.
And I thought – and I feel like until Matty Ice – listen – MVP and all that, and Alex Smith is a borderline MVP candidate this year. It's not saying that they didn't that they don't make, 80%, 90% the right decision, and that they're not a winning quarterback in the league. But in crunch time, until you make that throw, and I don't care, you don't know what you're talking about, Dave. You've never listen. I am certain that it resides in their heads. That people know that I haven't made the big play, that is something to.
No, at night, yes. You think about that.
That is true.
But let's remember this. Though.
I think they know it. And Nick Foles, for that matter, he knows.
Know,
no one
I
believes
know.
That I can do this. And what you do with that information, if you use it and it fuels your fire and you do make the big play, you're better going forward. But I can see how those things build on each other and tamp down. I could see Matty Ice in a tough spot being like, I failed before this, the last this time is, in this
well,
spot.
This is, well, there's another thing that says Matty Ice, I guess he's from Philadelphia.
He's from, right outside of Philly.
And they say he plays horrible when he goes.
He's not good in Philly.
Yeah, that's not good. But the other thing is the Chiefs, when we go back to the wild card, the Chiefs were up 21-3.
Yeah, what, they blew that.
What are you doing? And credit, if I don't know who was calling the plays because it looked like Andy Reid was at one point, but then it also looked like Nagy.
Yeah,
that Nagy was is one point, but whatever it was, how do you not run the ball? In that
well,
situation?
That's why Andy Reid does. He doesn't run the ball. He loves the pass, and that's always been one of the knocks against him.
They could have beaten the Patriots too. They absolutely could have gone up there and knocked out.
And it would have been a beautiful full circle story.
Yeah.
If that happened.
And then you have a chance.
Then you would have had Jags at Chiefs for the AFC.
No question.
You know
Chiefs
what?
Chiefs at Jags.
Can I tell you something?
Chiefs at Jags.
It would be at the, right. It would be Jags. Chiefs at Jags.
Oh, yeah.
What a wonderful atmosphere for the AFC title game.
Did you see the atmosphere the Jags had? It was amazing.
I don't care about people in swimming pools. That's cute in September. I'm not interested.
It's September all the time in Jacksonville. That's the difference. It's
what
hot. You saw those Bills players cramping up?
MVP and Eddie Spaghetti thought it would be cute if we did a Freaky Friday type segment where we transferred – our mental states, me and Maurice in front of the big game, Steelers v. Jags. What if all of a sudden Maurice's brain was in my head and vice versa?
Make a case for the
Pittsburgh Steelers, Maurice. Dave, you make a case for the Jaguars winning this game. We said, okay, let's get going with that. What did Maurice say? That's what he said. Said, I'm not playing games.
There's no reason for that. There's only one game to be played,
and that's
on Sunday.
Too
and
much,
I'll be there.
The Wolf. Too
and
much.
I'll be there.
No, why not?
I'll be there.
You are, of course you will. You will be there physically.
No, I'm gonna
or
be there
you
physically.
Will be there spiritually.
No, I'm going to be there physically.
Okay.
And there's only one game to be played, and that's this one. See, there,
why
see,
aren't I going to be there?
See, there.
Physically?
This is the thing.
I like that he's already
this
playing
is,
my
this
games.
Is, this
with
is
you.
The thing with Sheck and Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Like they're trying
this
everything
is the thing
that
with
they
them.
Is they're trying everything to do to like try to get us off our game. Oh, let's switch and let's have fun. No, this isn't fun. This is serious. We're coming. We're going north, as Jon Snow told Daenerys Stoneborn.
Don't give me business
in the Game of Thrones league that I won and that I still haven't gotten my trophy for.
Oh,
we're going north. That's what we're doing. And guess what? And we're coming back.
Guess what?
We're coming back. With
you're the Red Viper. We're the mountain. Army. Come climb us.
No.
You're in remarkably good spirits for the Rams losing.
Oh, I cried. I actually cried. I cried that night. Myself to sleep. I did. It hurt. I've never been so emotional in my life. I didn't actually cry tears, but I was like sick about it.
You were in it, yeah.
I was because I knew if we won that one, we were going to Minnesota, and it wasn't going to be pretty for the Vikings.
Ugh.
But you know, again, I think, and this is the thing. I've never been a person of experience. But you do when you've been in this situation before. You have a more calming. Is this you don't panic? I don't even want to say panic. You don't get nervous. Or tight, right? You kind of just you're out there.
I thought
that sounds a lot like Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger. You just described.
Oh.
Is it?
You know who's never been in a spot this big in his career?
Who?
Five.
Yeah, but you want to know
Blake.
The difference.
Stop it.
You want to know
Blake's coming into high.
Let me tell you the difference is how many games has Ben Roethlisberger lost in the playoffs?
What?
How many do we know? How many has he lost in the playoffs?
He's got a winning record in the.
But
playoffs.
How many has he lost? He's lost though, right?
I'm assuming he's lost playoff games.
Blake hasn't. We don't know
what
it's like.
Blake
doesn't
know
what it's like, to lose, baby.
Yeah, you're right. He's not undefeated in the playoffs.
He doesn't know what it's like to lose.
I thought that with the Rams, I was like thinking that the inexperience they had was actually going to be an advantage for them, especially playing the Falcons, based on the experience that the Falcons just had psychologically. I thought that was going to help out the Rams.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you the one thing that I noticed more than anything, and it was defensively, that the Falcons, every tackle was like crazy important. I mean, guys were wrapping legs, they weren't letting go. The Rams, on the other hand, they were coming in trying to hit you and they weren't tackling.
Aaron Donald was
phenomenal.
He's
the defensive player of the year, should be, if there's any justice. But that Falcons defense, you're 100% right, the Wolf.
Flying.
I don't know what they were doing most of the season, but they turned it around.
Well, and the one thing that I remember watching the game is Sean McVay thought if he went tight splits, they weren't going to press his wide receivers. They'll get free access to run their routes. Oh, Marquand Manuel said, no.
Mm-mm.
We will press you all over the field. And so in those tight splits, those DBs are right up in their face. I was like, oh, my goodness. I've never – because that's like a cardinal sin on defense. Because if you get beat, there's no one there to help you.
Right.
Oh, they didn't
Spaghetti
care.
Is Spaghetti's being a jerk back.
What'd
there
you say?
We have to wrap.
Why?
Where I don't
saying,
see.
Oh,
I don't, see,
wrap,
that, I don't see that around the NFL people.
What do we have to get out of here for?
Anyways,
what's your problem, Spaghetti?
No. It's MVP. Apparently.
How many Emma? How many playoff losses does Ben Roethlisberger have?
He has seven.
Okay, it's and how many does Blake Bortles have?
Hang on. Oh, zero. Yeah.
Okay. I love the idea. You know what? Seven for seven. That's how it'll stay for all the time. He runs the table this year. He runs it again next year. Then good night, everybody. I'll see you at Canton in a few years. How about that as a path for you, Maurice?
All I know is, okay, what has Ben Roethlisberger record
enjoy
versus Jacksonville Jaguars?
Enjoy Duval County next year, Alex Smith. You're going to love it.
Watch this.
Maurice is a
– Can we find that, guys? So we can – because that is – the key, because I think this is one of the only teams that he has a losing record against.
So, I mean,
that's nuts. That's just so good.
That matters to him. Like, come on.
You don't think when we put it in the airways that he doesn't read this? You don't think he listens to the Dave Damaschek football program?
I know he does.
And then what? This being stated,
4-3.
No, he's not.
He's
1-3.
No, he has a losing record.
4-4.
But he has a losing record in Hines against the Jags.
That's what it is.
That's the stat.
There you go. 1-3.
All right, I want to do real quick before they show up here, before the Around the NFL boys show up here.
I only lost a picture.
Let's do it.
Twice.
Let's get in a playoff round here of the world famous Q&A.
It's time for the Q&A. Here we go.
What do you say? It's going to be
a great day.
It is time for the Q&A. I just really love that song. All right, DeWolf, we start with you. Eric Z.
Hold on.
What?
I have a question for you. What kind of music do you listen to when you work out?
When I work out? Like,
or what do you listen to when you work out?
It's got to be something like The Quick. I don't know.
Like podcasts, music, or?
No, I have to listen to music.
Oh, Shaq,
I need something with a beat.
I go on Pandora's I have Minor Threat.
There was a wager mix in the room before you got in that says you don't work out, so that question doesn't affect.
I have a playlist.
Spaghetti, what's so funny about my music choice? Why are you laughing at that? MVP, you got something to say? So say it to funny. My face.
Nope. Oh. Check out DJ
What
Skunk.
Am I supposed to listen? What should I listen to?
Some, I listen to
smooth jazz while I'm running?
To podcasts.
I listen to
I want something
when I
that
walk the
keeps, that's got a. All right, listen. Here we go. Eric Z on Twitter. Who's the most valuable non QB left in the playoffs? The Wolf.
Ooh.
Gronkowski.
Oh, God. That's a good one.
Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown.
I was going to say Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown. Book it.
Gronkowski.
Xavier Rhodes.
With him?
Oh, actually, like Le'Veon Bell. Like they're going to have to run the ball, so maybe it's Le'Veon Bell.
Gronkowski. Without him, the Patriots lost. That's crazy.
That is absolutely right. Gronk, I know that they won the Super Bowl just last year with 87 on the shelf. They don't have Malcolm Mitchell or, more importantly, Julian Edelman this year. Gronk is everything to that offense. I'm with with Maurice on this one. And our pal Andy on Twitter asks, which player from Bama or Georgia do you want on your pro football team next year? What a dandy game.
Ooh.
Heart goes out, though, to Georgia, man.
Man.
I mean, that is.
That game.
Mel Tucker is my guy, defensive coordinator for Georgia.
I felt so bad for all those Georgia fans.
He played well.
What a heartbreaker.
That is horrendous. I know.
And the kid makes the 51-yard field goal. You feel like, things are going to turn our way here.
We won.
That's going to be the difference. Their kid can't make a kick. Our guy just dropped the 51-yarder in the clutch. We're going to win this one. Let's just stop him here. Well, that's it. College football season's over, everybody.
Number two is tough.
Brutal. The increased media attention, I don't suspect that Tua was feeling that on the sideline. That could have happened in 1968 just as well as in 2017, because in that moment, you get dropped in there with television cameras and everything else, but you could feel that kid couldn't fathom what had happened.
No.
You could see, he was literally quivering after the game. Like, you could see it starting to seep into his brain. I haven't played all year, and they dropped me on the field at halftime, and I threw three touchdown passes and rallied and won the national championship.
And they were, just yelling at him the whole time, too.
Well,
like,
I'll say this.
How do you do that?
A lot of people know it, or some know it, some don't know. Like, he's been a really good player that they've known for a long time, but they just couldn't – there's no way that you can fathom or debate that he should be playing over a kid that just took you to the national championship game. Right.
I cheer Jalen Hurts. That was noble. At some point, it did start to get to be like, after the game, you're still celebrating. Like, you know, you
just lost your job forever.
Right.
But I did think it was noble and great stuff to see him, and something to point for your children to look at. Look at how he's taken that. I will say, is there anyone in history? Forget sports, even, actually. This is just dawning on me because I just did it. A product of not being able to say his last name off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Has anyone gone from unknown to first name status more quickly than Tua?
But see, this
Tua is it now. Like, Tua, like, you know, this is Tua. We all know who you're talking about.
This is the thing, though. In the high school community, like, he has his huge name. Like, you know, Bucky Brooks, and the network has actually gone to the opening in Oregon, where he won the MVP, and he's been he's always been the best player everywhere he's gone. So with that being said, maybe to the world he's new, but to the community, the high school community, people that watch high school football and then follow it nationally and worldwide, this kid has always been that guy.
Yeah.
And so this moment wasn't too big for him because he's played in the biggest of tournaments, and, you know, he's from Hawaii, the same high school Marcus Mariota's
been
in. So, yeah, So he's been in this atmosphere, and to see him step out and make – first of all, you rarely see left-handed quarterbacks throw the way he can throw, right?
Yeah.
Like, you haven't seen
he's
me
got
throw
a really nice
lately.
Throw.
I mean, he throws the ball
yeah.
Some really,
like
really
Damashek.
Good yeah.
Steve Young.
But Damashek.
But I mean, the one play, I'm going to tell you the play I knew it was
Damashek's got a hose, the Wolf. Careful.
Do you remember the play where he got hit like in the backfield four or five times and broke some tackles and ran out and got a first down?
Yeah.
That was
play of the game.
That's when people started saying, "Oh, he's like Russell Wilson." And that's what he looked like in that
play of the game. But just before that, I do wonder, they missed the face mask.
Yeah.
That would have been crushing the Bama to be suppressing them two plays in. We got to stop. We got to give the ball to this kid here, and let's see what he gets. That if they would have called that face mask, I wonder if Georgia just would have kind of put that game away, and it wouldn't have ever amounted to anything. The Wolf, you enjoyed watching that game?
It was great. Yeah,
Andy Talon on both sides. Those
what player
Georgia
would you
backs,
want,
man?
What player would you want?
How's Nick Chubb?
He's good. He can run.
Maybe Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a big bruising type.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Give me any of those Georgia backs. I enjoyed watching all.
They all could run. Najee Harris.
Went to the same high school as
my wife.
He made a great run
Antioch.
There that would have won him the game if the kid hadn't have made the kick. Had made the kick.
Yeah, he's an Antioch kid. So I'd have to take Najee.
That's
in that
a
situation.
Good one. Who'd you take, Shaq?
I said any of the Georgia running
backs.
I love those. Yeah, I mean, they had different skill sets, but they're just so loaded.
That's why I love the
Georgia's just a factory of RBs, huh?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They recruit them. You just got to recruit them.
But it runs deep.
They
with Herschel Walker and counting them through the year.
They had Swift, who's there now, and they have another kid coming in this year that's supposed to be one of the best backs.
Really?
They had Todd. I mean, they put out backs left and right. TD, Todd Gurley. I mean,
wow.
They're going to put out some guys. I got to go to the next question. Next question.
Telling me to rap.
We're not
Why
rapping.
Do we have to rap?
I don't see anyone back there.
Why you don't care about the show?
I do care about the show. We just got the ATN group coming.
Oh, they're in there?
Yeah, we got Lindsay, the producer here.
But yeah, but the guys aren't here. We got two more questions. Go.
Evan on Twitter asks, if the Steelers were to somehow get eliminated from the Super Bowl and the Eagles somehow made it in, would you cheer for the state of Pennsylvania or for the misery of the city, home to the Philadelphia Flyers? It's an interesting question. People do seem the Wolf. Do you ever deal with this? People think that because
that there's
that
like
question.
Some type of rivalry because like they
the
share
Steelers
the
and Eagles don't have a rival. There is no such thing.
No.
The Flyers and Penguins do, and the Flyers are in fact my least favorite team.
You
in
should
all
flip
sport.
That though, because it's most likely that's going to happen where Philadelphia is going to lose, and then
Pittsburgh he just admitted it. He knows deep down what's going to be.
No, I didn't. I said don't touch it. Don't
what
touch
happens
it.
If I touch it? Then don't. What?
Because
then
I'm going to slap your hand, and then we're going to get into
I feel like that's a weird jinx for you. Don't do it.
What I'm saying is it's more likely for Pittsburgh to make it than there is Philadelphia.
I agree. I mean, listen.
We'll
that's
see.
Me, and that's just me.
I loved the springtime in Philly. It was a good time.
It was great. We had so much fun at the
draft. It was cold, hot. All in, like, I've never seen so many different weather patterns in my life in Philly.
My answer, my, my official answer is I don't. Anybody who likes the Flyers doesn't deserve to be happy, so I wouldn't root for the Eagles, but it's a moot point anyway.
You're just losing all of your Philadelphia fans one by one.
That's okay.
They're just turning off the podcast.
Guess what? Guess what? You'll get some Jacksonville Jaguar fans.
Wow.
We sold out. We sold out the stadium, 70,000
Flyers strong. Fans should do themselves a favor and start watching the high-flying Penguins anyway. That's a more satisfying watch any day of the
that
week.
That is awful.
Philadelphia Eagles, it's a moot point. They're not winning the Super Bowl anyway this year. I'm sorry.
All right, enough.
I hope you win.
Negativity. Now,
Wolf,
neither is
I want your team to win. And I
we're going to run this back when they win next week.
I'm not picking against them.
Okay.
I haven't given my official pick yet. Now the boss, Greg Rosenthal, is throwing hands up, though, behind the glass. What's going on? Are we ready to do our part?
I wonder how he feels about the Titans coming into New England.
Ooh,
that may be something
we're
going
to talk about it on the Around the NFL podcast.
I suspect it'll come up on Around the NFL. Listen to that and all the other great podcasts here at NFL.com/podcast or Apple's podcast. Maurice Jones-Drew, you sure you don't want to shake hands? Be a gentleman. Be a gentleman and say good luck.
That's not going to happen.
Do you see? Be on the right side of justice, history, and common decency. Here we go, Steelers. Good luck against the Eagles. Against the Falcons. We'll talk to you later in the week with Willie McGinnis, Matt Money Smith, Cindy Freeland, and the rest.
Yay.
Till then.
Oh, my.
Thin slice of heaven. I touched the helmet.
Whoa.